coming in hot, Chichi. How we doing, brother?
Do you know how fired up I am today? First of all, one of my favorite guys in the world. I laugh all the time at this guy. Strong Island, not Wrong Island guy. One of the funniest dudes on a planet. We are so freaking lucky today, Case. What the hell is going on?
I'm so fired up, dude. They're one of the best stand-up comedians out there right now. Maybe even ever when it's all said and done. He's part of the host of the Pete and Sebastian show with the podcast, really, with Sebastian Maniscalco. Had a bunch of comedy specials. This guy's got 3-hour-long specials on Amazon Prime Video. Latest one being For Pete's Sake. I think I have that right. Been on like every big show too. I was going through the thing. David Letterman, Leno, Conan, all that stuff. One of the funniest guys out there. Before, let's just bring him on, man. Pete Corielli, how you doing, brother Peter? Thanks for coming into the mayor's office with us.
Listen, you guys are way too kind. I'm psyched to be hanging out with you. As I said before we started, bro, huge fan of your playing days. And Richie been listening to you. So when this one came along, I'm big fans of you guys. I was texting with Richie yesterday because I was listening to you guys yesterday talking about Volpe and stuff. Yeah. And I told Richie, I'm like, hey, get the animals out of the room. What do you got, a game for him over there? Put him in the garage for the show. Holy shit. Dude, he made something about his wife. Well, I don't even know if he's got a nice wife. Don't get the fucking dogs in the garage, guys. All right?
You're right.
Pete, it's incredible, bro. Every other show, Chinch be like, hey, bro, I got to go. I got to get the dog out of here. And then the cat's like running over his face. I'm like, hey, Chinch, how about we do what Pete says? Put the freaking cats and dogs in the garage for the show. Yeah. Like every show, he's like, hey, Macy's barking. No, you know, I gotta go. Someone's got to take a shit. He just threw up over here. He's going.
It's all facts.
When we first started the podcast they do with Sebastian, like we started like, 9 years ago. And I moved to this small town where I live in Fredonia, New York, which we talked about for a sec. Yeah. But I was trying to find a house. In the meantime, I'm living with my in-laws. They don't even have internet. That's how old they are. So I would park my Jeep Wrangler to get away from everyone. This is to you, Richard, right? Because you won't even get away from your dog and cat. I took my Jeep Wrangler to the Timmy Ho's, Tim Hortons parking lot, and I'd get in the back of the Jeep. And I put curtains on the window, and I do the cast with Sebastian. One time, I'm smoking pot, and a fucking trooper pulls up next to me to get a coffee. I go to Sebastian, hold on. He goes, what? I go, I think I might be getting arrested.
Oh, my God. That happened to Sean 3 days ago. Sean almost got arrested screaming, doing a podcast outside.
The other day, I'm at a hospital, and I had to go outside really quick, do the podcast with Chinch, and I got my phone up on this flagpole, and I'm like, hey, yeah, you know, I'm just doing, you know, hand gestures and all stuff, and this cop comes out, he's like, sir, he's like, is everything okay out here? He's like, we have a problem? I go, no, I'm just doing the mayor's office podcast, like, don't arrest me, I don't have curtains.
You watch the news, Shawnee? You look like you're making a Proud Boys recruiting video, right? Well, put the camera right on the flagpole. Oh my God!
Hey, yeah. So you said you went to Tim Hortons because they only had the internet service there.
They had internet, so I could stay in the Jeep and lift their internet, because if you're in a parking lot, you can get it. Oh, so I mean, that's dedication. Meanwhile, Richie won't even go in the garage. And
It's incredible. So you guys, now that's interesting. You guys started doing that podcast 9 years ago?
We did, yeah. And, you know, and it started out as just, 9 years ago we did it. We only do it once a week, and we never had guests, because when we started, he was like, do you want guests? And I'm like, hey, you know, I'll have them, but I ain't getting them. And he goes, I ain't getting them. So I'm like, all right. And then, you know, I mean, obviously Sebastian got huge and that helped a lot too. But then we just, the only guest we'd ever have is JJ Watt comes on because, you know, he went back from the beginning and, you know, he gets caught blanche. Love to have you guys on.
We would love to come on. Are you kidding me? Oh my God. We would love to come on.
We're starting to branch out and do guests. So I'd love to, man.
Give us a call whenever. I'm ready. I am ready.
Now, how long you guys been doing this?
This is our
At the end of this week, it's 2 years.
So where are we at? Like 250 episodes. We were doing it once a week for a while, and then we start. Now we've been doing it every day and just doing like just kind of.
Oh, nice.
Well, Chinch and I talk almost every day, so I was like, bro, why don't we just record our phone conversations really and call it a podcast?
There you go, man.
I was actually going to ask, dude, how do you? Because we're in a we have a lot of parallels. You guys are in comedy, we're in sports, but like. You guys are so freaking busy. So are we. Like, I don't think people really understand the discipline that's involved in, like, hey, I have to do this Wednesday. I can't take the kids. I heard you talking the other day. You were saying how it was like, you turn to your wife and I'm like, I got the podcast. And she's like, yeah, I know you got the podcast this week. But how do you guys navigate your time? Because you're both so freaking busy. We juggle all day, every day for this.
Well, we made... It's interesting you say that because we made two rules when we started. And the first rule was that because obviously we're not live. Like if somebody says something then after the cast, they want it taken out. The other one can't go, oh, come on. You can't do that shit because it's going to be too annoying. And then the other one was, you know, no set time. We work around each other. So like there's times when like, you know, it'll be like 3 months straight where like, you know, I happen to be home. So it's no big deal. But I'm working around this guy's schedule. But then, like, when I was writing on Kevin Can Wait, the sitcom on Long Island. Right. Oh, my God. I would slide out of the writer's room meeting. Like, I do a yawn. Like, I'm getting coffee. I'm going to do a podcast. They think I'm getting a cup of coffee. And my office was right next to the writer's room. So, like, they'd be in there pitching sitcom episodes. And then he'd be cackling at Sebastian. Meanwhile, I wasn't getting paid a dime for the cast. And I'm making, like, tons of cash writing on the sitcom. But, so, you know, man, it's like, and then, you know, Rich, like, the real, like, when you know you're, like, really committed is this. I was writing on the sitcom. Kevin James asked me to come write, and I never met him. Great guy. We had a blast writing this thing with all the writers. So season one, I had an apartment. And I'm like, why did I pay all this money? I was on Long Island. Because once this season was over, I'm going home. So season two, everyone from L.A. is getting all these expensive apartments. I find some lady who lives in and that's such a great part of Long Island, near Brentwood. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, I know what you're saying. That's an M13 shit over there.
A basement. Yeah, right. Exactly. You don't even go to the deli there. You don't even go here. So I rent a basement apartment for like $800 a month. All I have is a mattress on the floor and a blanket with like a few clothes laid out. I said to Sebastian, I look like I'm an Al Qaeda a sleeper cell, right? So, but this lady, I had no internet when I get back to her apartment every Tuesday. So she would let me run a long cord up her basement, through her living room, up into her bedroom, into her router. And she'd be eating dinner in the living room, watching like The Price is Right with her husband. I'm like, hey, Debbie, me again. And she's like, oh, gotta do the cast. And Sebastian'd be like, God, you're running a wire through some old lady's house. Oh my God, dedication!
So we've been
through it all with this thing, man. So, but the key is like you two, man. No matter what, as soon as you start, you see the other person, you like each other, so you're in a good mood. You're like, let's do it.
It is great. Yeah, when you get on, you know, you're rolling, and you guys on that show, it is incredible to see the friendship that you guys have. Cause I mean, the laughter back and forth, like it's, and also too, I was thinking this, like, first off, as a stand-up comedian, like, I must think the world must look a little differently. Cause you're like, something happens to you, you're like, oh, that's a bit. I could use that.
Yeah.
I just gotta develop it. Is your brain, cause when I watch the Pete and Sebastian show, to me, it's like, oh my God, this is like, they're bringing up, you know, like the other day you were talking about when you walk into a party, like, is the food out already? Is the charcuterie board ready to go? It's like, there's like a million bits. So as a stand-up comedian, man, is it like, is your brain going 24/7 on putting material together for the stage?
It's, you know what it is? I don't think you do it purposely. I think maybe a lot of comics, I know me and Sebastian, that's what made us migrate to stand up, is because you're doing that anyway, finding life. Like Sebastian does it blatantly, and he does it to me. Like I'll be out to dinner with him, and I'm like, I don't do the examining thing to me. Like, you know, you save that for the rest of the world. But he, you know, but it's like I said, like I'll give you a perfect example. The other day, my wife's good friend of my wife's, was her birthday party is like a 45th, and her husband is going to take her out for a fancy steak dinner in Buffalo. That's not a surprise. But the surprise is right before they leave town, they're going to pick us up and we're going to be joining. So now I'm saying to my wife, now they have two kids that are young. How do you know she's like not the wife's not in the car going, oh, I'm going for a nice steak dinner with my husband. And then they bang right into our driveway. And she's like, what are we doing here? He's like, we're going to take Pete and Jackie. How do you know she's not going? Finally, one night, we have one night alone, AJ. And no, now we're going to pick up Pete and Jackie. Let's listen to Pete and Jackie talk, right? So Jackie goes, nobody else thinks like that. And I'm like, Sebastian will when I tell him, I guarantee you. So, and you don't even, it's just the way you think, you know what I mean? It's not like, I used to go more like, that's a bit. But now, you know, I don't say it out loud, but I still think it all the time. But yeah.
It's amazing the way your brain thinks, though. You guys are so quick witted. You know what I mean? So it's like, have you ever got on stage and like, is everything always prepared on stage, or are you winging some of it too?
Oh no, a little both, man. I definitely have bits I want to do, but like this past week, I played a club that I knew wasn't going to be crowded on purpose. So, like, I had new bits I wanted to try that I knew what I was going to say, but then I was going to go with it. You know, sometimes, you know how it is. You could take batting practice every day.
Right.
But until it's live, there's a level of concentration. You can't get there until we're there, you know? It's
so
like,
true.
I can't explain it. So, yeah. You know, and then when you get to that place, that's when you find, you know, new ground, you know? Like, so anyway, it's a little of both, but never – I can't go up and go, I'm going to do this, like George Carlin does. Like that, the building could be burning down and Carlin's still going to be sticking to the monologue. Some people love that. I'm like, you know, come on. We got to go up. I got to tell you something, because I heard you yesterday talking about your love of Bon Jovi, right? So my mom, a couple months back, she moved into like one of this high-end independent living facilities in Jersey. And I only bring up that it's high end because I'm on the phone with her and she goes, I'm making some friends. And she goes, I'm talking to two women. And she goes, I'm not going to lie. Everybody brags about their kids. And I was telling them about you. And I'm like, well, you may have never heard of him, but if you Google him, he's doing a lot of good stuff, right? So then one lady walks away and the other lady goes to my mom. You know who that was you were talking to? My mom's like, who? And she goes, That's John Bon Jovi's mother.
No shit. No way.
So then my mom goes, heckling me. She goes, you believe that? I'm bragging about you to Bon Jovi's mother.
That's so good.
Oh, shit.
That's so good. That's so great. So Pete, growing up for you, like,
yeah.
And obviously, Chinch and I, we're big baseball fans and talking baseball and stuff like that. Who was your team?
Oh, forget it, man. I grew up a Yankee fan on Long Island. And that's because of Reggie. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Reggie is everything. We would even like, you ever do this? Like, you would try to time, Rich, you might remember this. You try to time the TV. Like, I'd flip from Laverne and Shirley back to the Yankee game when I thought Reggie was up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
You should be up again in about 11 minutes. it's Willie Randolph. I don't need to watch the slap hitter. You know what I'm saying? I love Willie, but
yeah.
But we'd always go to Met games instead at Shea, because as my father liked to say, I go, Dad, why can't we go to Yankee game? He goes, because I want my car battery to be under the hood after game's over. So we're going to Shea. But you can eat your Reggie bar in the back of the car on the way. Get ready for a little Lima Silly.
Rusty
Stubb, if he's not too busy cooking somewhere. My buddy loved Rusty Stubb, and he was like, his favorite thing to do was cook. I'm like, what the hell is this?
We need some hints. Why is he cooking?
Man. So oh you, God, you, so listen, man, you had a hell of a career, man. I was looking up the stats. You had 25 home runs, batted like 332, and made $200,000 that year. Holy shit,
dude!
That was free. You were doing it for free. You were getting two times a minute.
I was at the All-Star game that year, 1999. We roll up. It's I walk in. I'm like, did I win a contest? Like, how the hell did I get here? I'm 25. I'm on the bus. We're on the bus going from the hotel to the clubhouse. Right, first day. Randy Johnson's ahead of me, Jeff Bagwell, Piazza. I'm like, they must have got it wrong. Like, what the hell is Sean Casey doing? I'm in the back of the bus, Pete. I'm just trying to hide. Like, holy shit, I hope they don't recognize me and tell me to go home, you know?
Sean, so, tell them about your first car, Sean. Tell them about your first car in a big leagues, please.
Oh my God. Before I get to the 99 store, I'll tell you about my first car in the big leagues.
Yeah.
I got drafted in 95, bro. I brought two Honda Accords, one for me, one for my sister. I'm like, Beth, we're rich. My dad made like $33,000 a year grinding as a chemical salesman. I got $200,000 to sign, which Uncle Sam takes 100. And then my mom was like, hey, Sean. He's like, hey, Shawnee, we owe $70,000 for University of Richmond loans. I'm like, well, aren't you going to pay for them? He's like, we can't afford that. So I paid those loans. Then I bought two cars, right?
Time out. You get drafted in the second round at the University of Richmond, and they still want tuition? What are you on? You weren't on scholarship?
Are you kidding me, bro? I went to University of Richmond. I didn't have one offer out of high school. They came to see me play. They gave me $1,000, which is basically like your meal plan for like 6 weeks and like a couple books. So I had nothing.
By the time it's looking like you're going to get drafted in the second round, they don't go, listen, here's a card. You can use the meal plan at the very least. Yeah. Nothing, dude.
Nothing. I got a little bit more my junior year, but first couple years, we were throwing $30,000 out there like it was going out of style. My parents were like taking a second mortgage out.
So you had the loan to pay. Wow.
Loan to pay, and I bought a Honda Accord two-door, baby. Thing was so legit. Lou Green, you know, real nice green. Bought my sister a car, too. Both stick shift so we could save a couple bucks. Real nice. So, Pete, I got this car, bro. I think I'm legit. You know, I got a dent in it one day. I was coming out of a parking garage. Boom. No big deal. I was like, I ain't fixing that. But I roll up in 99 with the Reds, my first spring training. Boom. I got the, you know, I've had it since 95. Roll up in the two-door Honda Accord with a dent in the front. Freaking, I'm pulling in the player's lot. Day one of spring training. Like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, security comes out. They block my car. They're like, sir. They go, this is the player's lot. This is the player's lot. You got up, you know, the game's down there. I go, I'm a player. I said, I'm a player. They go, whoa, you can't be a player in this car. Like, you got a dent in the front. It's a two-door Honda Accord. Like, we've never seen this kind of car pull into a player's lot before. I'm like, I swear to God, I'm the first baseman of the Cincinnati Reds. I swear to God. They pull me to the side. Here comes Larkin. Here comes Barry Larkin in his Hummer. Here comes Greg Vaughn in his Mercedes. Here comes Denny Nagel in a Tesla that didn't even exist in 99, but I think he had something like it. He pulls in, you know, and I'm like, oh, so dude, they got to go in and get the traveling secretary and the PR guy to come out and vouch for me. And they're like, is this guy a player? And I'm like to Rob Butcher, who's the PR guy, I'm like, Butch, tell him. And he goes to the security guard, yeah, this is our first baseman, Sean Casey. He's like, well, what's up with his car? He's like, well, he hasn't really made any money yet. So he's still driving this hunk of shit. So fast forward to the 99 All-Star game, bro. I'm making like 180, 200 grand. I'm like, oh my God, I'm loaded. Wow. You know what I mean? I'm loaded. So I go to the game, and I remember seeing that A-Rod, just for making the game, gets a $2.5 million bonus.
Oh,
and I'm thinking,
God,
where the hell's my bonus? Like, this is my shot to make a couple extra bucks. But the Reds were so cheap at the time. There was no bonuses for anybody, right? So, dude, I'm rolling into that game, and it's the all-century team. I don't know if you remember that game, the 99 All-Star game. All-century team. Pedro Martinez is starting.
Oh, yeah.
Ted Williams comes out of right field. It's incredible. Yeah. And they announced me for the game. They're like, you know, backing up Mark McGwire, Sean Casey. I'm like, let's go, baby. Let's go. You know? And I'm looking around. There's Hank Aaron, Willie Mays, all these guys. So we're walking up to throw out the first pitch, bro. And I get a pat on the shoulder. And I'm just like a kid in a candy store. I'm walking up, and it freaking guy puts his hand on my shoulder, I turn around. He goes, "Hey, Sean, I just want to introduce myself. I'm George Brett." He goes, "Oh yeah, dude. Swear to God, that's how I felt." Yeah. He goes, "Man, I love your swing. It's, you know, such a good swing." And bro, Pete, it was the first time I was ever speeching. I was like, I couldn't talk. And I'm like, "Oh God, 3,000 hits, George Brett. Fuck." I couldn't even talk. So I'm like, one of the greatest moments of my life. Now listen to this. This is an incredible story. So a couple years ago, I'm with, obviously I'm still with MLB Network, and Greg Amsner and I are doing the red carpet show. Well, Derek Jeter, it's his last All-Star game, right? So Jeter's talking to him, and we say to Jeter, "Hey man, Jeet, all these years, bro, all the titles, greatest Yankee shortstop ever, living legend. What's your greatest moment ever in the big leagues?" And you're thinking he's going to say this title, you know, 96, blah, blah, blah. He goes, "The greatest moment I've ever had." This is so great. He goes, "Was at the 99 All-Star game when the All-Century team was around, and Ted Williams came out and we all walked up to throw out the first pitch." Now I almost think, I'm like, is he going to tell my story about George Brett? That's what I'm thinking in my head. Like, this is incredible. So he's like, he goes, so he was coming from the American League side. I was coming from the National League side. So George Brett grabs me. He says, as we're walking up to Ted Williams, he goes, "I get a pat on my shoulder. I turn around. It's Hank Aaron." And Hank Aaron shakes, reaches out his hand and says, Hey, Derek, I just want to introduce myself. I'm Hank Aaron. I really love the way you play the game." And then we converged on Ted Williams. But I hear that story and I say, at the same moment, he's having one of the greatest moments of his life with Hank Aaron. Right. I'm having one of the greatest moments of my life with George Brett.
Right. That's unbelievable.
Isn't that unbelievable?
And I let you know, too, that, man, no matter what all the other stuff he did, you know what it feels like to have the best moment Derek Jeter ever had. Because you were having it right next to his ass. Yeah.
Incredible.
Well, let's be honest, we're a more exciting person because we all know the Pine Tar guy. I only know Hank from the baseball card. Totally.
Yeah, right.
Wow, man, what a moment, you know? Yeah. I mean, and then to be make it a couple more times, that's validation. Validation.
That is validation, man.
That's when you come back and you go, "I knew I didn't need to throw out the tuxedo. I knew I was going to need this thing again, baby."
Yeah, I knew I'd be back here at the All-Star game.
Yeah, that's
so
great.
So great, man. Dude, what about you? Like, what do you feel like in your career, man? You've had so many unbelievable moments. You've had specials. You've been on the big late night shows. You know, you got a podcast with your boy Sebastian. Like, is there a moment, a couple moments that you have where you look back and you go, "Man, I can't believe that happened to me"?
Yes. Like the first one, I guess, was the first time I did Letterman. You know, I mean, that's like kind of for everybody. But I kind of, it's funny. The material was there, and I'm proud of that. But like, I'll never forget. I can't even look at it anymore. But hold on, how do I stop this? Someone's trying. We're still here. You can see me, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So anyway, when I was doing Letterman, my wife talks to me and, you know, I get a whole new suit and I get this pink shirt. I think you could see it online, not now, but it's like a button hot pink shirt. And I got the shirt unbuttoned to about here and I got the collar coming out over the suit a little bit, right? Now, Eddie Brill, the guy who used to book Letterman, he goes, "When you come out, you know, everyone gives Dave an acknowledgement, you know, maybe a wave or a nod, you know, just something to acknowledge that, you know, because you don't go right up to him or anything." So I come out, I got the suit with the pink shirt out. I look at Letterman, I hit him with the double dumb. I go, afterwards I go to my wife. He didn't know if I was going to do stand up and try to sell him an 8-ball of cocaine. So, you know, that was a great moment, but you overthink that shit. You overthink it, you know, when it's happening. But the other one that isn't like, you know, I've done a lot of stand up and stuff. And this one isn't as exciting in the same way. But for me, it was like so eye opening. So I like writing, you know. And sometimes in the past, I've written my own sitcom idea or something. And when I saw one to CBS, and they always would go, "Okay, now we got to get you a writer." And then the writer takes all the money. He goes and hides in some dumb bungalow or wherever he is. And then he comes out with one of these same old lame old scripts. And it goes nowhere. And now I'm back to square one. And it would drive me nuts because I'm not like a writer. So Kevin James had the sitcom, and that came out of nowhere. I was camping. They called up and go, hey, dude, I got a room full of writers. I like your stand-up. I could use a comic in here to be part of the writing staff. And the first day I got in this writer's room on Long Island, it's for the sitcom, and there's like 10 guys in there. One is this guy, Bruce Helford, who's a legend, who's done like everything from the original Roseanne, the George Lopez show. Like, he ran them all, right? And then, you know, Kevin's in there, and he's awesome. I love Kevin James and all these great writers. One guy in there created Barney Miller. Remember Barney Miller?
Oh, yeah. Holy heck shit. Yeah.
This guy was like, 67 years old. He's got like four houses. He's just in here as a favorite of Kevin. And we all sit down, and then there's some dude that's an assistant who writes whatever you say, and they got a screen, and everyone just starts belting stuff out that the characters could say. And within, like, I don't know, a couple of hours, I'm just taking it all in. Then I start saying stuff. Then I get one that gets a big laugh that gets in there. And by the end of the day, I was like, you know, on the phone with my wife going, I could do this shit. I knew I could do this shit, you know? So now they can't do that to me anymore. And now we just, me and this other guy who I wrote on that show with, who I loved, we just wrote 8 episodes of the show called Flagrant to star Michael Rapaport.
Yes.
And wow. And Rich, you got to hear this, especially because you're in this world. You appreciate this. The show starts out, right? Because I hate when you watch a show and it starts out and they try to tell you what everyone does. So like the woman will be like, I'm a nurse, so I have to go to work at the hospital now. And then you go, okay, obviously you're a nurse. That was for us. Yeah. So I wanted to show this character without like having to show it. So this thing starts out with Rapaport. I don't know if I can say too much, but he lives up in Buffalo and he's his age now. But back in the day, he was the best basketball player to come out of Jersey, the Paterson, New Jersey area in like forever, right? And he stayed local. This was before St. Pete had its run. We wrote this freaking thing. Wow. He stayed local and took some local Paterson University to the Sweet 16. And then he threw the game because his old man was caught up in some stuff. And he threw it like embarrassingly, like, you know, like you knew after 2 minutes he was throwing the game, you know. So this show starts out with a 30 for 30 about that. Cool. And Mike comes into his kitchen and the wife had popped the TV on. She left the room. So it's like it's always on. And he didn't even agree to do it. And he's like, how can they even make this? I'm not in it, you know.
That's great.
And then, you know, all of his friends. And they even got clips of Mullen in there talking about it. Right? So now here it is all these years later. The guy who's on that team with him now is the new coach at Paterson. And he invites him to come be an assistant coach. He thinks it's his new chance, but it's not. The whole thing goes down. It's very funny, man.
That's great.
It's very funny. He's being used again. I'll put it that way.
When's that coming out?
Well, right now we sold it, and the guy's like, I want to start making them before I even sell them. So he's like, I'm going to make them, and we're going to sell them as we go. There's no way we're not going to sell this thing, and I just want to start going. Put my big time TV producer. Aaron Kaplan, you may have even heard of him too, Rich. He makes a lot of stuff.
Yeah. How does that work nowadays with like, are you selling with Netflix and Amazon and everything, whatever? You're just trying to sell it to the best place or is it different than like 10 years ago before all this stuff?
I think there's a feeling out process going on now more than ever because now there's so many of them, you know what I mean? That like it's just blowing up. So I think, you know, you definitely have places in mind where you'd love it to be. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think you just really want to make it, especially because once it's made, you know, who remembers where? Like, you know, I'm watching Yellowstone. I think it's on the third network it's been on, right? Like, it's going out on Paramount. First it was playing in some guy Jerry's house in his living room. Then it went to Paramount. Yeah. Now I'm catching it on this Peacock. I don't even – so who the hell knows anymore, right? Fun. Let's just make it. Let's just fire up the cameras, dude. This guy, they go to save money. They're like, we might film in Belgium to save money. Belgium can look like Paterson, New Jersey. All right, let's do this. Let's go to Belgium. Let's do the waffles.
Waffles and chicken. Oh, my God.
Yeah. And you ever on a Zoom call like that? You hear something that crazy that you side text your friend on the Zoom call? Like, I'm texting the other writer. I go, guy, fucking Belgium? Can you say that?
Oh my god.
So we'll see. So yeah, Rappaport's a great dude, man. And we wrote this thing for his voice, so I hope it gets made. It's very exciting.
Oh
man.
My god, dude, that's so good. What about you and Jackie? Chinch and I talk about this all the time. Like, hey, what shows are you watching right now? Like, what are you guys sitting down to watch? You got any shows that you're locked into?
Yeah, well, I mean, I did Yellowstone like everyone did, but then we slid over to, bro, I heard you last night. I watched The Offer. I saw all those. That was great.
It's incredible. I'm in it right now. It's incredible. Yeah. Matter of fact, I was telling my fiance last night. I go every episode we watch. I go in the middle of. It, I go, this show's incredible. This show's incredible. Like just the way they looked at it. You know, what's the mafia being involved still. It's incredible.
It's like, and that guy, just get it done. Get it made.
get it made. Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
And I don't know. I don't want to give too much away, but did you get up to the horse head part yet?
Oh, yeah. When he's like, I can't film that. When Coppola's like, when he was like, that's not real. I can't film that. Yeah.
Right. So, Rich, I got to tell you this part. I don't care if it's giving it away. It's been out for a while.
Do it.
They used a real fucking horse head, but they told them it was fake. So everybody's punching it and shit going, Jesus. Wow. They got it from like a butcher.
Oh, my.
Like, right, some, yeah. And everyone's like, wow, really? It's so real. They're like, yeah, that's because it is gay.
I got to watch that. You're Italian like me. Dude, like Christmas Eve, there's just a Godfather marathon going on. Like, they're shooting people in the heads and we're like, you know, saying our prayers before dinner at the Cinciamino house. I gotta watch this thing.
I know. And my old man, he was about 6'2", and he had the mustache and the slick back hair.
Did he?
Yeah, and I swear to God, when people would joke, "Go, you look like you're in the mob," he took that as a compliment. You know
what, what was Christmas like at the Corielli house?
Well, you gotta remember, I grew up. I was half Irish. My mom's all Irish.
There you go. So you got the perfect podcast with Casey and Cinciamino. It's like 50-50.
Oh, yeah, right? So Christmas Eve, I go to the Italian side. We do the calamari. We open a few gifts, one at a time. Everyone looks at it. Then on Christmas Day, I go to the white trash Irish side of Levittown. There's like six sisters. The porch looks like a fucking beer, walking beer cooler at a beverage place. Just all Budweiser's. Everyone just throws their gifts. Take it, here you go, go. And everybody drinks in the kitchen and uses the sink as an ashtray the whole night.
My mother is part Irish. When she would finish dinner, she would have a cigarette and she would like put it out in her mashed potato leftovers, like on the plate. So, I'm not kidding. I swear to God.
Listen, that is so environmentally friendly, right? Yeah. It's all going in the garbage anyway. Yeah. My dad smoked log cigarettes and he would pick his teeth with the back of the mouth. Who needs floss?
So good. It's funny. We used to go, my folks are both from Long Island too. Islip and Savo, which I think that's out there. Everyone's like, Suffolk County, right?
I grew up right next to your mom. I went to Oakdale. I was Connecticut. Right on. Did you ever go out to where your mom's from, Savo, right on off of Montauk?
Dude, what are you kidding me? My dad in Sable, my mom in Iceland. Oh. But Ocean Avenue, do you know where Ocean Avenue is in Sable? Dude, that's where my dad grew up, and we used to go there every Christmas. I probably saw you one day. I probably hit your car with a snowball. Hey, any car went by. We'd just start ripping snowballs at the thing. But dude, have you ever been to the Call House? Restaurant.
Oh yeah, of course. Dude,
that's my Uncle John, John Casey. My dad's brother owns that.
Oh my God! Are you kidding me?
Holy
shit!
Yeah, dude.
I mean, I used to go to St. Lawrence Church in Sable instead of our church because my mom said the priest was way faster. You get out of there like 15 minutes quicker.
So good.
And we got the bread and left. We didn't go kneel with the bread. You put the bread in your mouth and did a slide out while everyone else was still getting the bread.
Oh my God, dude! This is incredible. You're saying this, it's a great conversation. This Sunday I go to mass by myself, and what I'm starting to find as I get older, Pete, I'm like, I show up 5 minutes. I'm in the second reading. When I get there, the second reading is already happened. The New Testament. I'm like, all right, it's just second reading of Romans, and then bam, the gospel goes. I'm like, all right, I got the gospel in. So at least I got the gospel. If I get the Eucharist, I'm in business. So I come in the second reading, 5 minutes, slide in the back, boom, I get, and then I go up, get the Eucharist, you know, amen, boom, I'm rolling. And then what I do, what I've been doing lately is, I mean, is I've been sliding over to the, to like the, you know, the holy water, quick, yeah. Our Father, and I'm out the door, and I'm like, what am I doing? I'm like, I'm showing up late and leaving early. I didn't even...
Hey, at least you're dipping a toe. And you know what? I think I might got to steal the doing the holy water while I still got the bread in my mouth. That's a double down. I love it.
Oh, my God.
I always tell my family, too. Now my daughter can get it. Our church has the priest, and then the other guy is just some guy in a suit. They're both doing the body of Christ. I always tell my family, don't get it from the guy in the suit. It don't have the same power. You got to double dutch over to the priest line.
Yeah. So, dude, I want to know what you think.
What are you doing up there, guy? What do you think? This is a hot dog stand? Get the fuck out of here. It's the body of Christ. You don't belong up here in your freaking TJ Maxx suit. Come on. Sorry with the F-bombs, Richard.
So good.
No,
dude,
I like
so
it.
So good.
All right.
I got another question. Now that we're on Mass, I think it's a great thing. You know, COVID happens, you know, we got all the thing on. You know, we got the mask on now, and now we don't have them. But, you know, you go do the peace offering, you know, peace be with you. But now you just give you wave to the guy next to you to the right. Dude, this Sunday I had enough. And they're like, peace be with you. And there was a dude to my right. I went right in for the handshake, old school. I'm like, peace be with you, bro. And he comes in, bam. I just start hitting everybody around me. I turn around, I'm like, peace be with you, too. Peace be with you. Like, I was punching people. Yeah. Peace be with you. Yeah. And, like, one older woman, like, she kind of took 2 feet back, and she just gave me put her hand. I was like, peace be with you, ma'am, you know, even though you're not going to shake my hand. But what do you think? What do you think about that? Like, shouldn't we go back to shaking hands?
I got to be honest. I'm the other way. I loved when it got shut down because of COVID. Because sometimes I get anxious. I'd be looking at a guy to my left going, oh, God, is he going to want to do the handshake? And I think you're shaking everyone's hand because in your head, you're like, listen, I ain't going to be here when this ends, so let me say my goodbyes now. I leave 10 minutes early. You can't chat on the way out. They're like, look at this guy. He comes in late, starts spreading COVID all over the joint, and then he slides out the back.
So good.
I'm sorry. So we're not even joking about that. I don't want to joke about that stupid disease.
Oh my God.
Shit. Oh my God. I went to confession recently. You ready? Oh, when was the last time?
Oh,
you did
whoa.
That?
It's been a few years, bro. I confessed, like, hey, Lord, if you could hear me, listen up. My bad for, like, you know, lying about that little, you know, what I was saying.
Yeah, I went to my cousin's confirmation.
You don't got to go to the room. I had to go because my daughter was just getting her communion, and before she could, she had to go. So there's no one at the church. You see the priest in there. She goes. She comes out. I told us on the cast. I said to Sebastian, I go, I'm going in. And my wife's Catholic, too, and she goes, why? And I'm like, for the cast. I don't even remember what you do. I was going off the movies, you know, when you see the movie. Like, I just go there, I'm like, bless me, Father. And then he goes, how long has it been? And I'm like, in my head going, oh, that's what they say in the movies.
No, but then there's also a prayer you have to say when you're in there, right? I couldn't remember it. And they're like, okay, go ahead and recite the prayer. And I'm like, I just went like blank. I'm like, I don't remember that one. He's like, all right, let me help you through it. And then he gave me a card and we're reading it together. So I'm like, thank God he brought the card, you know, like a cheat sheet or something.
Yeah, no. Because I had the same thing. He wanted us to do the Our Father. And I go, I don't know the whole thing, Father. Like, you know, so, and he goes, well, he goes, that's okay. And then he goes, how about we, and he's going to say another one. And in my head, I'm like, guy, if I don't know your hit, we're going to do the B side right now. Shut it down. We're not praying. I go, I'm not familiar with any of them that well. I wanted to be like, guy, if I didn't come in here, you'd be sitting on your ass for the next 10 minutes. Nobody's here. So, you know, don't start putting me to the gun with these things, all right?
Oh, my God.
Nobody goes anymore. I'm so glad. I mean, listen, I'm not over religious, but, and I don't go, my wife puts it best. She's like, we don't go like, because, you know, over religious. It just kind of reminds you to be civil to one another. You know, when you walk out of there, you just feel a little good about yourself.
You feel good. Your soul's been hit with an hour. You know, I always tell my kids, kids like, we don't want to go.
Well, in your case, 25 minutes. So, an hour for the rest of us.
It's like mass light for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I tell my girls, and my girls were going to mass. They're like, oh. I'm like, hey, listen. Yeah. you can't give God 1 hour of your week just to say, hey, thanks a lot for everything that's going on, you know, in life. Yeah. Things are going well, you know?
Right. And it's like, and even if you're like, you know, these people now, I don't believe in God, then just go sit in a room and just be grateful to whatever, even to yourself. Just sit there and go, I'm so lucky. I'm so lucky. I'm so lucky. I don't give a shit what else you do, right? Just reflect for a second.
It's so true. It's so true.
I know, man.
How about this? This is pretty funny, but my dad was a Catholic priest, if you can believe this.
Wow.
Till he was 30. And then he left and became, he went from a Catholic priest to a restaurant manager. I'm like, whoa, that's a tale of two stories right there. You know, dude, he told me a story one time. He's like, Shawnee, he's like, I'm sitting at the rectory. He's like, you know, you had to sit around the rectory. And my dad's like, type A. He's me on steroids. As you can only imagine, he's like, you know, he can't sit for 5 seconds. You know what I mean? So he's sitting there. He's like, at the rectory. He's like, and you're waiting for like someone to die, give someone last rites, or maybe a funeral or a wedding or whatever, or someone needs to talk to you. So he's like, this one day they're like, Father Casey, you know, we need a last rites down on Ocean Avenue, 2725 Ocean Avenue. So he's like, all right, I'm on my way. So bam, he says he rolls out of the rectory, rides down to 2725 Ocean Avenue. Bam, he walks in and he said, this lady opens the door. She's like, how you doing, Father? He's in there. So my dad's like, what the heck? He's like, my dad says he's like 27 years old. He walks in the house. She points to the bathroom. So he opens up the bathroom, opens up the shower. The guy's freaking out cold, not snoring. He's dead. And my dad's like, you know, does the last rites, walks out. See you later, man. See you later. And he's like, thank you, Father. Bam, out the door.
Oh, man.
It's incredible. I was like, no wonder you left the priesthood at 30, Dad. That would have been a tough job to do the rest of your life.
Yeah, man. Wow.
Hey, Pete. Wow, man. Pete, I got one for you. So this is Long Island. I got to talk Long Island again. I remember hearing it was, I think it was like Seinfeld was on Howard Stern once, and they were talking about why is there so much funny that has come out of Long Island? Like, if you think about it, like, people don't know. Yeah. There's millions of people that came from Long Island who all comedians, a lot of writers, a lot of movie writers and directors. What is it that makes Long Island so funny? And why do so many comedians come out of there? Do you ever think about that?
I have, you know, and I think you could say the same thing specifically about, like, the New England area. And if you maybe you equate it to, and I'm just thinking this now, riffing it, man. But maybe you equate it to like a really good sports organization that, as they always say, the culture. So all these, I don't know, immigrants. By the way, Richie, did you know the screwdriver was invented to drink by the Long Island construction workers? They couldn't keep their beers cold when they were coming home from building the city. So they started mixing vodka with orange juice, and they were mixing it with their screwdriver.
That's amazing. Belt, right? I didn't know that.
Is that why it's called a screwdriver?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
So wow. Guys are banging out screwdrivers after working on girders. All they got is humor, right?
Yeah.
I really feel like for whatever reason, there's a specific kind of humor. And then, you know, you grow up on it. Like, I remember as a kid one time, my father made fun of everything and everything. Like, I remember a guy pulled up to do something on our house, and my father looks over at me and goes, oh, God, this guy looks like he's dipped in grease for 50 fucking years. Okay? So, but one time my mom at the dinner table goes, I had a brother and sister. She breaks down and goes, can we just have one meal where we don't make fun of everyone and we just don't, and we just talk nice? And then there's a pause, and my father goes, Jesus Christ, Pat, what the hell's the matter with you? And then we started making fun of my mother for having the breakdown, you know? So, and I think it just carries from generation to generation, right?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right.
You know, so many people I know never left the island, so I go home, like, for fishing with these guys. Oh, my God. Yeah. Like, I grew up out on the South Shore, and we had bad plumbing because we were so close to the bay. And my father... You couldn't flush a lot in my house because it would overflow. So when my friends would come over or something, I'd be like, only number one and no flushing, right? So it was ridiculous. It was so embarrassing.
So did they have to go home? They had to go home for number two? Like they had to leave?
They go up to the Shell gas station on Mount Colorado. It was right up the block. I swear to God, right past Byron Lake. You hit the Shell, come right back down, one shot, right? So I grew up by the wharf. You ever hear of the wharf? The bar on Long Island?
Yeah.
Right around the corner from there.
Oh, no.
So anyway, So my buddy, this past summer, I go visit my buddy. Now he's got a house out in like somewhere middle place on the water. So, you know, he's not even married. He's out on disability. He still smokes Marlboro Reds. He's got the tattoos, right? As soon as I pull up at his house from a long drive, I gotta go. So I go to the bathroom. I come out. And then like 10, 20 minutes later, all the buddies start showing up. And he goes, you believe it? He takes a drag over his Marlboro. He goes, for 18 years, Corielli don't let us take a shit in his house. And he pulls up in my house after 30 years. And what's the first thing he does? He takes a dump. I'm like, who remembers that shit? The callback and this and that. It was beautiful, man. It was beautiful.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I spent some time in Richmond. That's where you grew up, right?
No, no, I grew up in Pittsburgh, but I went to college in Richmond.
In Richmond, okay.
Where did you live there?
No, no, I played some clubs there. My wife and I spent the day on the James River. Interesting element out there. Oh my God, was there a prison break? Holy shit! You gotta have a tattoo on your neck to go out on the James. Not allowed on the James River without a knife and a tattoo on your neck. I see the brochure. I go, where are they stand up paddleboarding? Because all I see are Budweisers in the river.
Oh my God, so true.
Yeah,
we used to go down there when I was a freshman in college. For whatever reason, we're like, you know, it's off campus, obviously. So we're like, hey, let's go to the James River. And like, all right, cool. And this, you know, how you do dumb, super stupid, really dumb things, and you look back and you go, how do we live from that? So we go down there, probably have a couple cold Budweisers, and then there was there were these two rocks that you could go under, Pete, and if you could snake your body just through it, you could get through it. And we're like, hey, man, are you going to go under the rock today? Like, yeah, let's do that. Oh, yeah. So we'd go under these two rocks and barely get through. And I remember one time kind of like I must have had a sub before I went or something. It got like one of my love handles caught. I'm like, Kah! And I was like literally stuck underwater. And I finagled my way out. But I remember telling my buddy Jay Adams, I go, never again, dude, am I doing this. Let's stop coming to the James River and thinking going through these rocks is fun, because I almost died right there because I had the 12-inch sub at Subway before I came.
Oh, my God, dude. And for what? There's not like, you know, a mermaid on the other side with beautiful breasts. Right? You just high five your money when you get to the other side. Yo, we're going to risk our lives. High five. Holy shit. Fucking knucklehead, man.
Oh, my God. What a bunch of idiots. Such a bunch of idiots. Oh, my God, man.
The one thing I will say, Richard, not only is the Long Island sense of humor unbeatable, but the bacon, egg, and cheese on a roll is like, that's my last meal, man. Fly that in. Even if I'm like under a charge of a murder in like Florence, Italy, I'm like, listen, go out to Nassau County, give me bacon, egg, and cheese, and fly it in.
It's not the same anywhere else. It's not the same anywhere else. No, you're right.
It's not. You know what? Some places, don't even try. Don't even just stop. I can't explain. It's unbelievable. And it's almost every deli, too, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Every
deli can make it beautiful. Yeah.
What is it about the bread, though, with the bagels and everything in New York? Is it really the water? That's what everybody says. It's the water. It's the water. Is the water that much better?
All right, Long Island's the only place where you can make about $95,000 a year working at deli counter. I don't know. These guys pull out with better cars than me after making sandwiches all day. Yeah. Deli's a huge business on Long Island. You drive the by biggest. A deli, my heart starts to flutter. Like, are we going in? Even that shit coffee's better than Starbucks. Yeah, I'm explaining it. Everything. So I mean, Richie, sometimes you ever treat yourself to a Yoo-Hoo? What the fuck? I'm 50 and I'm getting a Yoo-Hoo.
Yes. Oh, it's so true.
You got to drink it before you get home and your wife sees it. Oh, my God. What are you, 10? Yeah, Yoo-Hoo. I'll drink a Yoo-Hoo, then I'll see a guy drinking a Yoo-Hoo at a red light, and I'll be like, look at this bouncy guy. Meanwhile, I didn't drink, but I didn't get caught. You guys are pissing, man.
Oh, my God. This is so great. Oh, my God. So great. Oh, man.
Sean can't breathe right now.
I literally am crying. last question I want to ask you.
Yeah.
What do you got What do you do with like supplements? You take any supplements or anything like that? I know this is a funny question, but the reason I said that is because I was just thinking to myself at night, I'm like taking this bladder control thing. I'm like, you know what? I want to get good sleep because I track it. If I take the bladder control thing, I'll only do one piss.
Really?
Right? Yeah. So what I'm asking you, do you take any supplements, you know, maybe help you out at night, in the morning, you know, maybe some of that collagen or whatever?
No. And I pee so much at night that one night, oh my God, one night I was going to bed, my wife next to me, and I got a stack of pennies. And she goes, "The fuck you doing with the pennies?" I go, "Every time I get to piss, I'm putting a penny to the side because I always lose track. And I want to." So the next one, I go, "Jack, six pennies." And I go, "And I probably forgot to put a penny once or twice. I'm so tired." So, you know? So I can't do supplements, but I do pee a lot. I don't know what the next move is going to be, man. It is ridiculous.
I know that pisses, it literally pisses me off because it messes with you, man. I can't get back to bed, then the brain starts going, you know, and you're probably doing a bit in the middle of the night, fourth piss, you're like, "Oh, what's the next Amazon special gonna be?" And it's four in the morning.
Well, my wife too, I mean, she's going through the night sweats, which I have hot flashes, so I got a whole thing on that. Sleeping definitely has changed since we were younger.
Oh my God!
I got a parting question for both of you. You as a player, and Rich, you as a commentator with it all. I was joking with Sebastian about this, but gentlemen, I'll just say his first name, Tony, but he's in the front office of the New York Yankees. Fan of the cast, great guy, and Cleveland's not far from me, so he leaves me and my family beautiful tickets. And the Cleveland organization was so great, right? But I'm like second box behind the batter's dugout, the batter's circle.
Dugout. Yeah. Oh, yeah, the on-deck circle.
Yeah, on-deck circle. So Judge is, you know, warming up. And every time he's warming up, I'm going, "Aaron, you're the best, baby. You know, nothing but love." And I mean, I used to be in the bleachers. I remember one of my best ones with the Yankee games. Yeah. I was coming so hard at Dave Henderson, and Ricky Henderson was in the outfield too. I was going to Dave Henderson, "You're not even the best Henderson in the outfield." And then he flips you the bird, and you're like, "So excited." Yeah. And now you like him. You like him. So there was always this back and forth, you know? And Judge, I mean, he didn't even give a little nod out. And I'm saying to Sebastian, you know the price of the box seat, normally speaking. Mm-hmm. Doesn't that deserve it? It would be like going to SeaWorld and the whale don't splash everybody. You know, you got to get me wet. I'm in the wet seats. I'm in the nod seats. I'm in the seat where you nod to my kid, guy.
Oh my right? God,
that's a good point.
Oh my God.
That should be on the ticket, not to your kid, at least one of the choices.
Dude, it reminds me one time I'm playing against the Mets. You know, you talk about some of the maniacs. We're playing against the Mets, and I'm on deck. It's 2005, and I'm having a pretty good year. 2004, I had another all-star year. You know, hit 320, 24 homers. I'm like, that guy, yeah.
Yeah,
2005,
man.
2005, I'm hitting 300, but I'm like, I got like seven bombs. I'm just having a down year or whatever, but it's still decent. If you're a fan. So I got this guy. He's like, "Hey, Casey," I'm on deck at Shea. "Hey, Casey, you're killing my fantasy team." He's like, "I need the 2004 Casey back. The 2005 Casey is killing my team." And he wouldn't stop. He was so right. So it's like, third at bat, I come out, Pete. I'm like, "Is this guy going to still continue to do this?" Like, "What's up with the RBIs, Casey? Your RBIs are killing me." He's like, "You're not getting hit for enough power." And I finally turn around. I go, "Bro, get a freaking life. You got to get a life." I go, "I'm busting my ass out of here. I know I don't have any homers, but you come out and try and hit these guys. I got Tom Glavine getting 4 inches off the plate tonight. What the hell's going on? I got Johnny Franco throwing me two seamers inside. You try and hit these guys."
I love it. I love it, man. That's such a New York moment, man. You're talking to him like he's the third base coach. You
know? And then I'm like, why am I having a conversation with the guy four rows up. I'm like, I'm the whale giving him the, you know, the giving him the water. Like, yeah, you know.
Well, I got to tell you, Richie, you know, you'll appreciate this back from you too. Like, you remember the Big East tournament game?
I was a Pitt, yeah. Huge Pitt fan.
Shoot.
So wait, so this was you know, the Garden. This was like after that was starting to die out, and they were having like, I think they had the NIT, you know, and that doesn't draw the same. Right. But I had ticket. I worked at a hotel and I had tickets, and Indiana was playing. Like I think it was Ohio State, that short little white point guard. I can't remember his name, but anyway. At one point, Bobby Knight was coming so hard at his players, and this was like before all the accusations got crazy, but you knew it already, right, the way it was. So we got great seats. It's not packed, and I'm with a couple of buddies of mine, and Bobby's yelling at a guy, and I start going, "Damn, Ben Bobby, right?" So, awful thing to say. Next day in the Post, they were saying the fans were coming at Bobby so hard, one of them even dared to say him. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm getting floated in the boat.
That's so awesome. I'm excited to see Patino come back. He's gonna buy 3,000 dudes and make them good again. Under the table, tractors, everything, like blue chips.
I mean, it's crazy. You know, the old recruiting process would be like, oh, you love the campus? Have you seen the maple trees that line the walkway? You know, now the pitch is, guy, I'll work on your 3-point shot. You'll go from the second round to the lottery pick, right? Yeah. It's an NBA training camp. You go work Patino. It's NBA training camp. That's what it is. I'm so excited. I feel bad about the last coach. He was like really railroaded.
You're St. John's guy? You're St. John's fan?
Big time. I still got a Redmond hat.
Hold on, guys.
Oh, yeah. Not, you know what I mean? The only ones who don't mind when I wear it, believe it or not, are Indians. Seriously.
It makes sense.
Right, Rachel, no. The Indians are the only one that didn't mind when we were called the Redmen.
My dad went to St. John's. This isn't, they have a Native American when it was still the Redmen. This was from St. John's. Don't blame me, folks. My dad made me take it.
On Louis Connor's second desk.
I'm like, Dad, I think we got to get rid of this thing. I don't think this is what people do anymore with this. They changed the name of the team like 15 years ago. Like, we got to get this out of the house.
We got to get it out of the house, yeah.
My cousin was a big-time baseball player. He went to St. John's. He got drafted late, but he played for the Phillies minor league. Never got all the way. But he was a St. John. We love St. John's growing up, man. Mullen.
Oh, yeah,
Walter
Mullen.
Berry.
Mark Jackson.
That's right.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Hey, Pete, this has been incredible, dude. Like, thank you so much for coming on with us. This has been amazing. How can our listeners find you, brother? We want to make sure our listeners are finding you. And, you know, how can we find you?
The easiest way is PeteCorielli.com. You just Google my name. You'll see my website. It'll take you to the cast I do with Sebastian. It'll take you to some specials. It'll take you to my dates where I'm playing. And you're good to go that way, man. Yeah, listen, you guys. Shit, if I come to Pittsburgh, we're getting dinner and Richie. If I come to Long Island, we're getting...
I got to go to the Paramount. I just realized you were at the Paramount, what, like 3-4 weeks ago? That's like 25 minutes from my house. I was so pissed I didn't notice that you were there. You were there
in
the gym?
Next time I will let you know. Yeah, that was
great, man.
It was a great time. Oh, yeah, great. So look forward to doing it again. So, you guys, I had a blast. I had a blast, man. Thanks for having me, man.
So fun, Pete. Thanks for joining us, man. We had an absolute blast, and we can't wait. We're going to connect, bro, at some point. And if you want Chinch and I on the show or whatever, we're game. Just let us know.
Absolutely. And listen, good luck with the season, man. It's exciting. It should be fun, you know?
Yeah, it's going to be great, man.
By the way, I know we're leaving, but do you know, you must know Billy Gardell, right? He's a
big guy. I know Gardell well. Dude, I know Gardell well. We do the, do you know any of the guys here? Do you know like Billy Crawford? Do you know Bill Crawford, comedian here? Like Randy Bauman, they do the morning show, but Gardell does the morning show with those guys.
Yeah, he's one of my best friends. I mean, we're like thick as thieves.
If you talk to Gardell, tell him I said he is the greatest, dude. That guy, and he's got that real Pittsburgh accent, too. He's a real yinzer. He's a real yinzer.
Yeah, man. He loves Pittsburgh.
Loves it, dude. He's a legend.
Yeah. Well, listen, man. It was great hanging with you two legends, man.
Thank you, Pete. So honored, man.
We'll talk to you soon, brother. Thank you, man.
I had a great time, man. Later, fellas.
Thank you.